Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Hey, Mishnayot Zayin through Tet, Chapter 5, Mishnah 7 through 9. We begin with Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah Zayin continues with the trend of this Perek. Last week we saw a series of things that fell in the number 10, 10 different trials of Abraham, for example, and now we're continuing down and we're doing a series of things that are 7. So we begin the 7th Mishnah with the Shiv'a Dvarim, the 7 things that distinguish between a golem and a chacham. A golem is basically someone that has the form of a person, but doesn't necessarily have the intelligence of a person. And a chacham is an intelligent person. So we say Shiv'a Dvarim ba'golem v'shiv'a ba'chacham. There are 7 things that characterize a golem, and there are 7 things that characterize a wise person. Hechacham, the wise person, eino medaber bifnei mishehu gadol mimenu bechokma. A wise person never speaks before someone who is greater than him in wisdom. Ve'eino nichnas letoch divrei chavero. And a wise person doesn't try to interrupt his friend. Ve'eino nivhal lahashiv, and he doesn't rush to answer. Sho'el ka'inyan umeshiv kahalacha. He asks appropriate, relevant questions and answers correctly. Ve'omer al rishon rishon v'al acharon acharon. And he answers, or he speaks to, the first item first and the last item last. V'al ma shelo shama, omer lo shamati. And if he encounters something, a question about which he doesn't have the information, something that he hasn't heard about, he admits it. He says, I didn't hear. I don't know the answer. Umode al ha'emet. And he acknowledges the truth. V'chilufehen, and the opposite of all these characteristics, are in the golem, are in the unintelligent, unsophisticated form of a person who isn't a fully developed person. We continue with Mishnah Chet. Shiv'a minei puraniyot ba'in la'olam. There are 7 different kinds of punishment that come to the world. Al shiv'a gufei avera, on 7 different types of sin. Miktatan me'asrin, u'miktatan einan me'asrin. If we have a society where some component of the society takes ma'aser, does proper tithing, but some part of society does not do proper tithing, ra'av shel batzoret ba, a famine of scarcity comes. Miktatan re'evin, u'miktatan tzve'im. And in a famine of scarcity, what results is that some people are starving and some people are fed. And this parallels the people who tithe and the people who do not tithe. Gamru shelo laser, if I have a society where nobody, they've just decided entirely, we're done with tithes, no one tithes anymore, then a different kind of famine comes. Ra'av shel mehuma vishel batzoret ba. A famine of upheaval as well as scarcity comes. And if in addition to this, vishelo litola tachalat, they decide that they're not going to take the tithe of dough, the challah tithe, ra'av shel klayaba, then a famine of total devastation, total destruction comes. Devar ba'al olam, pestilence comes to the world, al mitod ha'amurot ba'Torah, regarding something that according to the Torah you would be receiving a death penalty, shelo nimsru levetin, which were never actually given due process in court. V'al peirot shvi'it, and also for disregarding the laws about how to properly treat the produce of the 7th year, of the Shemitah year. The Shemitah produce is not allowed to be engaged with in any sort of sense of ownership. Everyone has to make their field have care. Everybody has to say, anything that can be taken from my field, anyone can take it. And if somebody is known to be doing commerce, to be selling and buying the fruit of the 7th year, it's considered to be a very grave sin. Cherev ba'al olam, sword, presumably we mean a war, where people are going to die by sword. Sword comes into the world, al inoy hadin, for insufficient or oppressive judgment. And inoy hadin usually refers to someone not receiving a speedy trial. We know that it's the case in America today that people can languish in jail awaiting trial for 1 or 2 years, sometimes even longer than their sentence would have been. This is a reason why war would come to the world. Val ivut hadin, and on miscarriage of justice, v'al hamorim b'torah shelo k'halacha, and people who teach the Torah not correctly, right? They will go through the process of instructing, but they will give the wrong answer for the law. Mishnah Tet continues with the list of devastation. For those of you who are keeping count, the first three types of devastation were three different kinds of famine: the Ra'av Shel Batzoret, the famine of scarcity; the Ra'av Shel Mehuma, the famine of upheaval; the Ra'av Shel Klaya, the famine of devastation. Then we had pestilence, and then we had war. And now in Mishnah Tet, we have Chaya Ra'a, a kind of attack by wild animals. Chaya Ra'a Ba'a Le'olam, bad, scary, wild animals come to the world, meaning they attack human society. For the reason, al shvuat shav v'al chilul Hashem, for people who take false oaths and for people who desecrate God's name. And the last devastation is galut. Galut bala olam, exile comes to the world, al ovdei avodah zara, on account of people worshipping foreign idols, v'al giloy arayot, and on account of people behaving with sexual licentiousness, v'al shvichat damim, and on the spilling of blood. Some of you may recognize this list of three: avodah zarah, giloy arayot, and shvichut amim, idolatry, sexual licentiousness, and murder, as being the three biggest sins for which you have to give up your life rather than do. And this Mishnah adds a fourth, v'al hashmatat ha'aretz, and for not caring about and not being sufficiently diligent, again, about the Shemitah of letting the land lie fallow. Right, and we see in this series of Mishnayot that there's a lot of emphasis placed on being consistent and being careful about agricultural law. You might think it's not such a big deal not to tithe or to sell an apple during the Shemitah year, and it turns out that these are the reasons why famine and pestilence are coming into the world. And since we're already talking about Chaya Ra'ah, and we're already talking about Deva, we're already talking about these plagues, the Mishnah continues, Barba'a prakim hadever mitrabeh. There are four periods of time when this pestilence is going to become greater. Barvi'it, uvashvi'it, uvamotzei shvi'it, uvamotzei hachag, shebechol shana v'shana. So the four times are the fourth year, the seventh year, the eighth year, motzei shvi'it, right, the year that comes after the seventh year, uvamotzei hachag, and at the end of every festival, every harvest festival, every single year. The Shemitah cycle, right, is a 7-year cycle. And this 7-year cycle does not only designate when Shemitah is going to be, but it also designates other tithes that happen. Now the Mishnah is going to continue to explain why it is that at these particular points in the Shemitah cycle and in the year, we have an abundance of dever, where for some reason the pestilence is really growing. Barvi'it, in the fourth year, mipnei ma'asar ani shabashlishit. The reason why things are so terrible in the fourth year is because we had an obligation in the third year that we did not fulfill. That is the giving of the tithe to the poor. So when you think of your 7-year cycle, you actually should be thinking of 2 units of 3 years plus the seventh year. In the first and second year, my ma'aser is food that I take with me to Yerushalayim and that I have to eat in the sort of holy precincts. But the third year, my tithe doesn't come with me to Yerushalayim, it goes to the poor. And you could imagine, I got very used to feasting in the first and second year, so from the third year, I don't want to give my tithes away to the poor. I want to hold on to my tithe, eat them in Jerusalem, eat them wherever I want to. Right, so the fourth year would have a lot of pestilence as a result of people not having sufficiently taken care of giving their tithes to the poor in the third year. Bashvi'it, the reason why things are bad in the seventh year, mipnei ma'aser anisha bashishit, because of the same problem. In the sixth year, I was supposed to give away my ma'aser ani, I was supposed to give away my tithes to the poor, and I didn't. U'b'motzei shavi'it, and the reason why things are bad in the eighth year, right after the Shemitah year, is mipnei peirot shavi'it, because of doing improper commerce, mistreating the holy fruit of the seventh year, of the Shemitah year. And why u'b'motzei hachag shebechol shana v'shana? Why is it that the end of the holiday and every year, that's when the dever comes? Mipnei gezel matnot aniyim, because of the theft of the gifts to the poor. So when I harvest, either at Sukkot or at Pesach, when I harvest my fields, there are certain patterns of produce that I have to leave for the poor. The corner of my field, anything that I forget as I'm gleaning. And so after the harvest is over and everything's all wrapped up, that's when we can see that people actually hadn't been doing their pe'ah. They hadn't been careful about lekat. They hadn't been careful about all of these different laws of the gifts to the poor. So at the end of the holiday, there would again be another resurgence of dever, a little bit more pestilence because of ignoring the financial needs of the poor. What I found to be most interesting about the Mishnayot that we studied this week is this image of there being seven different kinds of suffering or punishment that come to the world, and three out of the seven are actually different kinds of famine. And you would think famine is one kind of suffering, it's one kind of punishment, but actually the Mishnah describes it as having different gradations. There's a famine of scarcity, a famine of upheaval and scarcity, and then a third type of famine of complete and total devastation. And this distinction between different kinds of famines reminded me of one of the first famines that we ever encounter in the Torah, which we actually just very recently read about in our Torah portion, the famine that ends up setting in motion the story of Joseph and his brothers, the famine that brings Bnei Yisrael into Egypt. And when the Torah describes this famine, when it wants to talk about how intense the famine became, in Breishit Mem Aleph Pasuk Nun Hey it says, "Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim, all of the land of Egypt was starving. Vayitzak ha'am el paro lalechem, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. Vayomer paro lechol Mitzrayim, Pharaoh said to all of Egypt, Lechu al Yosef, go to Yosef, asher yomar lechem ta'asu, do what he says you should do. The Hara'av Haya, Pasuk Nun Vav, and this famine was, I'll call Pnei Aretz, over the entire face of the earth, Vayiftach Yosef et kol asher bahem, Vayishbor l'mitzrayim. And Yosef opened up everything that belonged to them, right? He opened up all of his storehouses, and he feeds all of Egypt, Vayachazak Hara'av Baret Mitzrayim. And the famine became strong in the land of Egypt. And Rashi notices something strange about this description of the famine, that the famine was al pnei haaretz, on the face of the land. Where else is the famine going to be? Right? We see the scarcity when crops don't grow. We see the blankness on the face of the earth. Once I already tell you that it's a strong famine, you know that it is present in the face of the earth. So Rashi says something very insightful. He says the reason why the famine is described as being al pnei kol haaretz, over the land, is because it shows you the intensity of the famine. Mi heim pnei haaretz, who are the face of the land? Elu ha'ashirim, these are the wealthy. So Rashi understands that suffering does not fall on everyone equally. There can be a famine, a really, really strong famine, and the wealthy are going to be just fine. When the Torah wants to let you know that this is a famine that actually affects everybody, what our Mishnah might call a ra'av shaklaya, a famine of total devastation, it talks about how the famine actually made it all the way to the cream of the crop of society, made it all the way to the most wealthy, the most distinguished people. I think we can learn two things from this. The first is that, on the one hand, something is only considered to be truly, truly, truly terrible if it affects everybody. That there's a certain level of devastation that is manageable because people might be able to support one another. If there's a wealthy person who isn't suffering, maybe they can give to someone who's poor. And there might be a way on a societal level to make up for some shortage. And so there's some type of devastation that's really bad for individuals, but as a society, we might be able to deal with. I think that's the pshat of what Rashi means. But I think the next level of understanding why we have to learn about this devastation that affects even the wealthy is to let you know that sometimes there's devastation and suffering that doesn't touch you. And because it doesn't touch you, you don't think about it. Because you are Pnei Haaretz, because you are sort of floating above the fray, you are not involved in the suffering, you don't notice it. And this Rashi tells you that just because it doesn't touch Pnei Kol Haaretz doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And there are types of famine, like the Ra'av Shel Batzoret, the famine of scarcity, that's a real famine. And we should be cautioned against thinking that when everything is all right with us, that means that everything is all right with the world. And we should always be sensitive to the famines of scarcity, where some people are suffering and some people aren't, and to have our eyes open as Pnei Haaretz, as the wealthy, as the privileged, to where suffering is happening even before it touches us. Next week's Mishnayot are Mishnayot Yud through Tetvav, Mishnayot 10 through 15.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton from March 3rd through 5th, 2017.